your holiday, Robert?
Oh, super fun. Super fun. This is my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving.
So low pressure. I mean, except for like nailing the meal.
Yeah. Yeah, we hosted 14, so there was a little pressure.
I hosted 4, and they are all my immediate family, and I loved it. Yeah. I made oyster stuffing this year.
Wow.
Yeah, where's my medal?
How does one?
You buy a jar of oysters at Whole Foods.
Okay.
And you coarsely chop it, and, you know, I used Lucy Buffett's recipe. That's Jimmy Buffett's sister.
Oh, that sounds great. How'd it turn out?
You know, I didn't bite into a piece of oyster, which is what I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. It was more of a briny kind of stuffing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
I would do it again.
Perfect.
I think one of my favorite parts about this holiday is that my employer makes it a 4-day weekend.
Same.
Best. I got so much done.
Yep.
Also, they call it on Wednesday at 2 p.m. However, I had Petit Garçon with me in the office on Wednesday because his school was closed. And, you know, he decided to barf in front of a minority partner.
Oh.
Shout out Joe.
Poor Joe.
But we did hit a few galleries on the walk home on Wednesday. He needed some fresh air.
Is it?
So we stopped at Bridget Meyer Gallery and we saw the Materiality exhibit.
This is the group show?
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
And then we stopped at Locke's Gallery.
Oh, great.
The second floor is the same one that was installed the last time you and I went.
Yep.
I think it's Pat Steer.
Beautiful pieces.
Yeah, amazing. And then, guys, believe it or not, Robert and I are not attached at the hip, and yet I think we had near identical Fridays.
100%.
LOL at either of us thinking that we had an original thought unique to ourselves because our Black Friday plans were...
The same.
I'll tell you where I went, and then you tell me where you went, and we can discuss.
Perfect.
Paradigm?
I went to Paradigm.
Museum for Art and Wood?
Almost.
Arch Enemy Arts?
Yes, for the first time.
Same.
So many great things.
Fan Gallery?
Same.
Said hey to Mr. Fred?
Yes.
Larry Becker, Contemporary Art?
Can we talk about that?
We're gonna.
Okay.
And Third Street Gallery, and I understand that that one probably is a little too far south.
Yeah, I didn't hit the last two.
Robert, ask me if I bought any art.
Lucinda... Did you buy any art?
I bought 2 pieces of art from Third Street Gallery.
No, you did not.
I FaceTimed my husband. I was like, I need you to walk over here real quick because I know that they're going to be really busy this weekend.
Wow.
I bought...
This was opening... Was this like opening day of their group show?
No, that's this upcoming week.
Oh.
So this was the conclusion. And there were still pieces left? Mm-hmm. Not a lot.
Talk me through it.
Okay. Sharon Jassar... I bought her poppies in acrylic and Bluebell in mixed media, and I'm going to put them right next to each other.
Beautiful.
At some place in the house. I don't know.
I hope this you have pictures to show me.
I do.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to where you went. Did you go anywhere that I missed?
Well, we originally wanted to go see the fashion exhibition at the African American Museum. But it was closed on Friday.
The costume with the woman who she did Black Panther and all of that. Yeah. Her name's Ruth.
Ruth E. Carter, Afrofuturism in Costume Design at the African American Museum. Would have loved to see it. Closed on Friday.
How long is that exhibition open for?
November 2nd to September 6th, 2026.
Oh, we have some time. Okay.
Excellent. That was close. So I went for the very first time to the Weizmann National Museum of American Jewish History, which was beautiful.
Yeah. They're a client of Becker and Frondorf.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Went there, had lunch at Fork, and then hit up our lovely galleries of Old City.
Okay. Tell me what you thought.
First of all, Paradigm. That artist...
First floor?
First floor. Beautiful.
Amor Fati, That was the name of it, the exhibit.
Yes. So great. Bringing to life the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. In
3D.
In 3D with every facade. And so many great memories. Just mm-hmm. of like signs of places that mm-hmm. you might pop into or a dive bar. Mm-hmm. Or I wanted the little propane tank. It was $50. Already sold. So many red stickers mm-hmm. already. It was great.
Did you see the second floor?
Yes.
Oh, powerful.
So great.
I loved that little assemblage of prints.
Yes.
Next to the fire door.
Mm. Yep. And then at FAN, that blue bird
mm-hmm.
on the first floor,
mm-hmm.
gorgeous.
That is
gorgeous work. Incredible detail of a bird on a calla lily. It was stunning.
And guys, Robert is talking about Tom Palmore. If you're listening to this now and you haven't seen it, you're probably not going to see it because I think we went on the last day of it being open. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Talk me through Arch Enemy Arts.
Oh, so great.
Maybe don't bring your five-year-old in there.
Well, you know, I went with my friend Brooke and we saw one that was called Get In Loser about these, maybe these two figures that were on top of a unicorn, like flying off for the night. I mean, it was some great work in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
very. Have you been there for 13 years?
No way.
Yes, I asked.
What?
I know.
Such an amazing collection there of just like oddities,
mm-hmm.
which were beautiful
mm-hmm.
and so thoughtful, but also all over the place, which was great. The curation there was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, Robert. There was a lot of galleries closed for being Black Friday. And question, did it feel like it was a little slow in Old City to you?
Until it wasn't.
Really?
So, yes, early in the morning, which I believe you started your day in through the galleries before I did. Post lunch, that area was bustling.
Okay.
Bustling.
I'm wondering if we just got out of there in time then.
Yeah, this was closer to like 2 o'clock-ish. And it started to pick up, especially even on Market Street.
Oh, okay.
There were a lot more people out and about. And as we even went into Anarchy Gallery.
Arch Enemy Arts.
Arch Enemy Arts. There were a bunch of people that were coming in after us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For the rest of the weekend. No art, but I ran into last week's guest, Andrew, and his lovely family on the way to the Starbucks stop before my med spa morning.
No way!
And that's what I love about living in Philadelphia.
It's the best.
By the time this goes live, we will have had our Emerging Collectors Night at the Print Center. Sending thank yous in advance to everyone who supported the Print Center's 110th anniversary, and Philly Has Heart for joining us for the evening. Did you spot Philly Inquirer's piece on Jake Weinstein's show at Works on Paper Gallery?
Yes. How incredible.
What a happy Thanksgiving for everyone involved.
Yes. I mean, good for them.
And I have to tell you that Evan, the owner, mm-hmm. was hoping this was going to happen, and he mentioned it a few weeks ago, and he was like, kind of hold back on some of the stuff that I told you because we're trying to get this piece in the press. And I was like, understood. But how fascinating that your father is a doctor who has used robotics to help treat patients, and you go on to have like this blockbuster gangbusters exhibition around that topic.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, way to take your family story and create beautiful pieces out of it.
Yeah. And did you see Bezos is bankrolling the Met Gala? Do I have that right?
Take the money.
Eat the rich. I say it every week now. Figure out a way to put it in next week. Yes. On to the conversation.
On to the convo. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerlin.
Bonjour.
And today we have Matt McGarvey.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you today.
I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Great. Great. Matt, take us through your journey. What brought you to the written word, that you explore today?
I started off writing. I don't remember the first thing I've ever written. It was after Temple. So I started a collection of writing called Horses. And they were like prose poetry, heavily inspired by like William S. Burroughs and writers like that.
Okay.
Like Beat Generation guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm a huge Beat Generation. Kerouac, Ginsberg, Hunter S. Thompson, all those mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And I started writing, and I don't remember when I started. When I was writing Horses, I teamed up with my friend the magician, who unfortunately moved to Missoula, and we made a music album in his basement called Horses in the Basement. And it was all my prose poetry on top of his electronic music.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was the start.
This is on your website, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I think I listened to it last night, or parts of it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's very interesting. It's very different. Experimental. No one's ever done it before. It's like spoken word on top of electronic music.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Anyway, so that was my thing into music. But let's talk about writing for right now. I started off at Vinyl Closet Records. In their open mic thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw online they had this thing going on. And I called them because I'm a big customer of theirs.
Yeah.
It's a record store in Norristown. I called and I said, you know, I realize this is all music. Can I like do poetry here? They're like, yeah, of course.
This is great.
And that's how I got my start. I started doing open mics at the Vinyl Closet Records in Norristown.
Wow.
Gaining confidence. This was like, I was very shaky. I didn't know what I was doing. But I, in a sense, I like to think I graduated to being a featured reader now. I did Moonstone Art Center 2 summers ago, and it's a poetry organization led by this person, Larry. So I called him, and I said, hey, man, like, I'm interested in interning for you guys, right?
Right.
And he's like, and I told him my credentials and everything. He's like, well, Matt, we'd love to have you. But I met so many friends through there, not through the internship necessarily. So I started off at Moonstone Arts Center, and I didn't know what I was going to do for them at all. I was just like, I'll do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they chiseled me into the spot of doing like the filming of Fergie's Pub on 13th and Samson.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Moonstone Poetry Night every Wednesday. So I started interning there, and I was filming and everything like that, and I made a lot of friends, and like and that's when I got sucked into the Philly art scene.
Wow! Yeah.
And I worked my way up, and I was writing my first book of poetry called Alien Vestibule, mm-hmm. and it's like I said, very William S. Burroughs inspired and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like just his like language and just his sinister use of vocabulary, it just really reaches me. But anyway, so I published Alien Vestibule, and Larry Robin, the Moonstone Arts Center guy, we were heading back to his office, dropping all the film equipment away, and he's like, Matt, how would you like to be a featured reader next month? And I'm like, yes, I do want to be featured reader next month.
That's incredible.
So that was my first featured reading spot, and I started getting used to them. I was doing them almost every month for about a year or two, and it's so cool to see like my name on the flyers and everything like that. And just, you know, I started making a name for myself.
That's excellent.
Can we go back a little bit? You mentioned Temple. You went to Temple for school?
Absolutely.
What did you study something along the lines of writing? Or?
I didn't know I was a writer till after Temple.
Wow.
I went for communications.
Uh-huh.
And I started in 2009. I graduated 2014 in the Klein Media Studies and Production.
Okay.
Wow. And I did the production track.
Right.
It was like easy, I guess. I don't know.
It was intuitive to you.
Yes.
And it was interesting. I got to create things, you know.
Right.
And I had my own radio show on the Ambler campus. I video work, audio work, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I graduated in 2014, but I didn't start writing until like, God, what year is it? 2025, right?
Yeah,
I've been writing for like a decade.
So, wow.
Yeah, okay. Like afterwards.
Yeah.
That's great.
I would love to talk about it.
Yeah,
that's why you're here.
That's that makes so good. Total sense now that I think about it.
Yes. Yeah, let's talk about your works.
Yeah, The Song Behind a Cloud is my big thing right now.
Yeah.
It's my first full-length fiction novel. It's not poetry. It's very serious, and I think I've been marketing incorrectly lately as like a stoner comedy adventure, but it's not. It's a serious work of literature.
Yeah.
It was heavily inspired by my time at Temple. The main character is a Temple student. He's just about to graduate in May, and he's on the orange line down Broad Street on the subway, and God reaches him, and he says, look, man, like, you're the only one I can reach, right? He's like, and there's three reasons for this. There's three reasons you can reach God according to my book. So you have to be an atheist to reach God. You have to be a schizophrenic to reach God, because you have to kind of think abstract.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to be a solipsist to reach God. Now that's a philosophy that I've struggled with during my life. Solipsism is there's no proof outside of yourself.
Okay.
So you know for a fact that you live. But what about the people outside of you?
Mm. Oh.
And now that was the basis for The Song Behind a Cloud, basically.
Wow.
And so the character gets reached by God, and God tells him, look, man, the coronavirus was brought to our dimension through black holes. Okay? So the coronavirus is on Earth from aliens from different dimensions. They brought the virus through a black hole. I am asking you as God, because you're the only one I've ever been able to reach to save the freaking planet that's dying on us. And I think a lot of the imagery in that book is inspired by my time at Temple.
Yeah.
I partied a lot. I did. It was a freaking party for me, if I have to be candid about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you had a good time.
I had a good time. Every semester I focused more on my studies. But
And it inspired your art.
It inspired my art.
I mean, at least you got that out of it, you know?
Yeah. People are starting to call me out on this book, saying like, is this a semi-autobiography of you? And I'm like, no, not necessarily. Right. Okay, it's fiction. There's no aliens. There's no God talking
Correct.
To me right now. Okay. But some of the partying aspects that the characters go through, marijuana use and drinking and all that stuff. And it was very inspired by my time at Temple.
Wow. You're layering in Philadelphia as well.
Yes.
And the different elements
I
of
love
the city.
Philly so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in Philly?
I was born in Fox Chase.
Okay. Nice.
I went to school at Temple. Yep. I lived in Philly for a few years. Right now I'm King of Prussia.
Oh, nice. Mm.
But my friend calls me a day tripper. Because I come to Philly a lot.
Right. So is he.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm here in the summer. I'm here like every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing featured reading spots, open mics, hanging out with my friends, whatever.
Nice.
There's just like the whole thing takes place in Philly. The guy's about to graduate college.
That's
great. It dwells into themes of like existentialism. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a college student. I don't know what's going on anymore. Right. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. So existentialism is a huge thing in the book. And like, okay, so I have a background story to my life as well that I should probably talk about, because I'm like the beekeeper. This was a week after I graduated from Temple, and a bee lands in my car, and I had my first panic attack. I didn't know what a panic attack was. I jumped out of my moving vehicle. I crashed my car into this garage. That messed me up.
Oh, wow.
So, like, all these pieces of my life, like, started to connect. I became the beekeeper after that. I started, I really overcame my fear of bees lately. I'm, like, buying bee paintings. I'm putting them in my apartment and stuff like that. Wow. And just, like, so it's cool. it's all good. Yeah. I would like to plug in that, like, my book for Temple, I think it's so relevant to our times right now. Mm-hmm. I think it can really speak to the kids, the college students especially. It's a college read. I mean, honestly, I think it should be, like, in Temple's curriculum. I think it should be required reading because, like, there's just so much to learn from it. And, like, every chapter ends with a bang. And there's plot twists throughout the whole thing.
Wow.
It's not a comedy novel at all. It's very, very serious.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, societal insights.
So, you know, what inspired the transition from the poetry to the longer form?
You know what, man? I started writing The Song Upon a Cloud. I didn't intend to publish it. I caught the coronavirus myself.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I was out of work for 10 days.
Right.
I had nothing to do. Yeah. I started writing it for fun. I didn't even plan for this to be published.
Right.
Yeah. And I take from Stephen King, his advice is don't know the ending to your own story.
Wow.
Don't know the ending. You got to find that along the way. You got to write to the end. So I made this whole book up as I went along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where can our audience find your book?
All over the place.
Okay.
It's officially on Amazon.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was not easy. A lot of trial and error trying to get that on there.
Take that, Bezos.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got it on there. But it's in plenty of stores. I spent the day in Philly re-upping Giovanni's room.
The Wooden Shoe.
Wooden Shoe.
Iffy's Books.
Iffy Books. Yep.
The Artist Loft.
Artist Loft.
Rock Shop.
Rock Shop at the mall.
Vinyl Closet Records.
That's where I got my start. They also carry it.
Town Book Center.
Town Book Center in Collegeville. I made most of my sales there. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But,
and where can people find you online?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I have my own website, Matt McGarvey, thebeekeeper.com.
We're going to post it in the show notes.
That'd be wonderful. It's Googleable. I know it's a long domain name. I tried so hard to make it The Beekeeper or Matt McGarvey, but they were both taken because of a Temple class. Actually, I used mattmcgarvey.com for something on, like, WordPress, and, like, I couldn't get it to work.
Gotcha. Oh, my
God. I know, right?
Yes.
And it's like, what terrible karma, I guess. But, there's a lot on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting a new writing project on it called Drunk Secret Ghosts. It's written exclusively on my phone, and it's only going to be available on my website.
Nice.
And it's more prose poetry. While I'm talking about, like, future projects,
mm-hmm.
I have my next book coming out. It's called Banana Suit Wallpaper and Other Short Horror Stories. And it's a horror story collection. And it's pretty good so far. I've written 8 of the short stories.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They range from things like... this one guy in Philly, he's running away from all the screens because of screen time.
Mm.
So, like cell phone screens.
It's giving Black Mirror.
Yes.
Yes. Like all the cell phone screens, and he's, like, ducking into bars to get away from the cell phone, but there's TV screens everywhere in mm-hmm. the bar.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? Yes.
And he's, like, running everywhere down alleyways, just trying to get away from all the screens.
Well, thanks, Matt. Yeah. We're going to roll into some rapid-fire questions with you.
Okay, sounds good.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
Can I say South Street? Does that count?
Definitely.
I love Repo.
It's a own vibe.
I love mm-hmm. Repo. Yeah, I'm a shopper, dude.
I love that.
I'm a shopaholic for sure. Yeah.
Slept on Philadelphia-based artists that the city needs to know about.
I recently purchased a record by Kurt Vile. He's awesome. He's from Philly. He's getting pretty well known,
nice.
But more people need to hear him. His music is so chill.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cheesesteaks with Wiz or without?
Oh, dude, I just had a Jim's cheesesteak today, man. No Wiz, man.
No Wiz.
American, sorry.
All right. If you could work in any other medium and achieve the same success mm-hmm. that you currently have, what would it be?
Music.
That's great.
Music. Yeah. My album, Late Bloomer, is kicking off. It's my solo album.
Is it anywhere available to stream?
It's on SoundCloud right now.
Okay.
And on my website. And it's like a multi-genre experiment. It's very experimental. It's very, like, electronic, hip-hop, I don't want to use two specific genres. Yeah. I don't want to limit myself, but it's really good. It's a stream of conscious album.
Cool.
I made all the lyrics and all the music by myself. I took voice memos on my couch of me playing the electric guitar and the acoustic. I uploaded the voice memos on my computer. I added the keyboards and the vocals. And I'm very excited about my project, Lake Bloomer.
That's awesome. Great.
We'll link that too.
Yes, please. Yes.
And do you listen to a soundtrack when you work?
When I write?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
You have to write to silence because that's a land of purity.
Yeah.
But I would like to say that on the Sun Found a Cloud, I did make my own sound loop on my computer with my keyboard. Uh-huh. It's 8 seconds long.
Yeah.
And I wrote the entire book listening to an 8-second sound loop on repeat. Wow. Starting from chapter 5. And wow. And it really put me in a trance. I was in a trance when I wrote the book.
Dialed in.
Love it. Well, everyone, check out Matt McGarvey, Philadelphia.
Matt McGarvey, writer, etc.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much.
You guys, Robert just admitted to me that he didn't know any of Matt McGarvey's literary references.
I'm not a big reader. I can't.
So I vote you...
check some out?
Yeah. Go to your local library. Get a Jack Kerouac on the road or the Dharma Bums.
Okay.
You might need an Adderall because he goes on and on and on. I'm not condoning prescription drug abuse, but
he might need
an aid in helping you concentrate.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll check out an audiobook.
Yes, love that. Audiobook, Jack Kerouac on the road. You got that?
I like it.
Okay. Can you believe it is December? So much holiday programming.
Philadelphia Winter Residency at Kimmel Center runs for December 5th through the 7th.
Philadelphia Ballet's The Nutcracker runs from December 5th through the end of the year at the Academy of Music. I have my tickets, Robert. Do you?
December 9th, one night only, Philadelphia Chamber Music Society presents Anthony McGill on clarinet, Randall Gooseby on violin, and John Mahoon on piano at the Kimmel Center.
Materiality, a group show at Bridget Meyer Gallery, is ongoing.
Hey, who's in that group show?
So glad you asked. Tim McFarlane, Rebecca Rutstein, and Petit Garçon's personal favorite, Jason Woodside. In other news, my 5-year-old wants a $3,000 piece of art.
Who's going to tell him? The last of 2025 First Friday in Old City is going to be popping. Colors of the Season, the Muse Gallery annual member show, opens ahead of First Friday today.
Pi Gallery's opening Patricia Moss Vreeland's The Stillness Between Us on Friday.
Steve Riddell's I Want the West at Larry Becker Contemporary Art, ongoing into December.
And FYI, that is only December 20th. A few blocks south of Old City, 3rd Street Gallery will open the Under 500 show, an annual member show.
And finally, Of Black Wombhood is at its last stop at Thomas Jefferson University Helix Gallery. And with that, Philly has heart.
And art!
For tuning into Philly Has Heart, your weekly cultural update. Subscribe and join us next time as we keep amplifying the artists shaping Philadelphia culture.